Hello, and welcome, welcome, welcome to WDGS on your podcast station. Of course, this is your girl, Fabulous Frida, always your host here to bring you the most of WDGS. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord awakened me and compelled me to get up and get to the table. I'm sitting here. I have my study Bible and then just a regular standard King James Bible. And the Lord say, allow people to study with you on this journey. For all of you, if this is your first time listening in, I'm on my 40-day journey with Jesus. And as I was speaking to God, making my request known, the Lord began to share with me what I need to share with the listeners. Listen to me. This is not a time for people to worry. This is not a time for people to fret about other people, what other people do, what other people say. Now is a time that people should really, really, really be concerned about their soul. So I'm not on my podcast to make friends and for people to like me. I'm on this podcast because God is compelling me to share the good news of the gospel. And when I say good news, that doesn't mean everything gonna sound good. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. But I got to share as much as this gospel as God gives me and grants me the breath, because I love people. I love all people, regardless of what color, regardless of what culture, regardless of what their communication. I do. And I, because I love all people, I desire that no one should be lost. So when I get on my soapbox and let people know the wrong thing against the right thing, that's out of love. I mean real love. You know, real love don't let people walk around in error and don't let them know they are in error. Look at the example, I hope, that you have in your own house. I always like to use the example of a person raising child or children. If you know your child or your children are headed in the wrong direction, you see them going in the wrong direction, if you love them, would you not guide them in the right direction? Or will you just let them keep going in the wrong direction? And I know there are some people who do. I remember years ago, a person I was acquainted with sat their son down and explained to their son how to hustle and sell drugs. And I thought, why would any loving parent do that? Why would you teach your child how to go to jail? Why would you teach your child how to possibly end up in hell? Because this is the thing. Crime of any kind, if you make it a career, is generally three ways out. Deliverance, jail, or hell. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. Let me repeat that. Deliverance, jail, or hell. So I'm thinking, why would somebody teach their child something that they gonna turn around and need some prayers for deliverance? I mean, I'm just trying to make it match in my head and make it make sense. Because, you know, I was in my early 20s at the time the person shared this. And eventually, as years pass by, that's what they end up having to do. They had to call people to ask them to pray, because that same person, child, ended up in jail. Let me tell y'all something. And when I get on here, I be meaning this stuff. And I'm telling you, but I mean it out of love. I worked in the property business for almost 21 years. Right at 21 years. And people thought when I came to work, I came to befriend them. But I didn't. I came to work to work. I came to work to collect their rent. I came to work to make sure that everything they needed as a resident, while they paid their money, that they got the best service, that the property was kept the best, the grounds, that they had the best people that work in the office to serve them. See, I understood I was not working, I'm serving. And as I sit on my podcast, I'm not working, I'm serving. But I'm serving people because I serve God. And this is what sometimes people don't get. This thing is not personal for me. This is a service position. Because I don't want nobody to perish. I want everybody to make it to heaven. I do. You don't gotta like me to listen to me. Oh God, help me today. Let me repeat that. You don't have to like me to listen to me. And I'm not going to sit on my soapbox or podcast and share anything with you that is not designed to help you get to heaven. And one of the greatest hindrances that I know people do to get to miss heaven and end up in hell is live off of their feelings. I can't keep stressing it enough, because this is what's going to end a lot of people's lives. It's what already ended a lot of young people's lives. It's not learning how to put their feelings to the side and make a choice to do the right thing. You know, when God awakened me, I'm going to tell you what was in my mind. Super Bowl Sunday, excuse me, Super Bowl Sunday, and I said, Holy Spirit, Super Bowl Sunday is over, but the Holy Spirit was reminding me, because the next day, the news media reported that was the most celebrated day. They had more people watching the Super Bowl. It broke the history. Listen to me. Y'all got to grab this. It broke the history ever. Most watched. One single program. So I was sitting there. And I said, you know what? And this is what the Holy Spirit reminded me. There are more people that probably recognize and celebrated the Super Bowl than their own mother for Mother's Day. There are more people that probably recognize and celebrated Super Bowl than Father's Day. There are people that recognize and celebrate it. And you know what celebrated means? They spent some money. Hello. They spent some money. They made preparations. They put some effort and some energy in enjoying a program hosted on TV. Y'all gotta grab this. From some people they don't even know, that ain't never did nothing for them. I mean, absolutely nothing. So I sit sometime and I talk a lot to God. I talk a lot to God. I talk to God more than anything and anybody. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the heavenly host and the angels. Throughout this Bible, there's a symbol above everything in this earthly realm. To even, if y'all only knew, I'm telling you for real, if you only knew that the Bible is a visual survey of everybody's life. It's a symbol. It's a key principle of life. You may have heard me refer to it as fundamental teaching of life. And it will help your life grow if you study it. You know, I was speaking with my spiritual brother the other day. And I remember he said when he was younger, he was trying to make some connections in the Bible. He said, Alfreda, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, listen to me. Somebody gonna get deliverance through that Bible. Somebody gonna get healed through the Bible. Somebody gonna be set free through the Bible. Somebody gonna receive a miracle healing through the Bible. Somebody's child gonna be saved through the Bible. Somebody's child gonna be set free through the Bible. There's healing through the Word of God. Listen to me. He said, Alfreda, you know, I was trying to figure out when Cain was given a curse, a mark, and say when Cain went on and he was cast out from where his mama and daddy because he killed his brother. He said, I was trying to understand how in the world Cain left and went on and met with other people. If the only people in the world was his Adam and Eve and him and his brother. I got the Bible. I sat down and I started trying to figure out if them the only people in the world, how did Cain, when they say people notice him, could not kill him because of the mark that God put on him. So anyway, he said, he got that Bible and he started studying, trying to make sense. And years later, he said he realized, because I think he said when he did that, he was real young. But as time progressed, he realized there were some books taken from the Bible. And so with that being said, I said to him, I said, that is true. They call them the lost books of the Bible, but they were never lost. They were removed from And I think they did it as, well, when in my study, let me put it this way. In my study, a lot of it is placed in the Vatican. The real scrolls. Well, they found them in the cave. And so I said, even in the Bible itself, like me studying the book of Matthew, the Roman soldiers, back then, they took a lot of stuff. The Roman Catholics, that's what a lot of time they refer to. And so the Catholics, they knew there were other books in the Bible. But they released some of them in certain areas for print and publication. Listen, you got to get this. So this is why sometimes the Bible may seem confusing to people. Because all the books are not there. So when the beginning really, really happened, nobody, even if Adam and Eve were the first two made in the image of God, does not mean they were the first two creatures made of God. So you got to understand, we all are creations as creatures in our own shape and form and image. You got to get this now. So in the image of God, it says he created Adam and Eve, but there were other images that were made. God created what they call Nephilims and other creatures, the angels. There were people that was created, but they just wasn't made in the image that we are. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. Let's look at, for example, there are many animals, but every animal is not a lion. Hello. Some animals are a bear. So if you read, now my voice hasn't been this bad, but I'm going to fight through this. If you read the Bible and it says animals, that doesn't mean it's just a lion. It's a whole lot of animals. And so this is how you learn to rightly divide the word of truth. So as the Lord is instructing me through the Holy Spirit to share some of my studying, because it's the gospel. Now let me just give you a little breakdown. In your standard Bible, there are 66 books. That's what they enclose, 66. But if you, excuse me, if you really study all the books of the Bible, it will be almost 150 books, because it's a total of about 75 books that they did not enclose in the Bible. Some of them was written by the same people that wrote in the standard Bible, and some of them was written by people who were not in this Bible, like Maccabees, like Esther. But there are some people like Esther. There are more than one book of Esther. There's another book of Solomon. Just like there's the Psalms of David, there's also the Psalms of Solomon. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because it's time now for people to enlighten their lives with the Bible. It's really that time now. And not only to put it in their lives as a light, but also the lives of their children. Now, when you look back at the number of books from the Old Testament, there are 39 books. But those 39 books, listen to me, you got to grab this. They date back to 4,000 years of history. That's a lot of years. When you look at the New Testament, there's 27 books in your standard Bible. And they cover what was considered the lifespan of Christ. But they didn't include all the books because there's a book of the birth of Mary. That's a whole nother book that's not even in the Bible. Why am I saying all this to you? Because I want you to understand, I don't get on this podcast just to put people in a perspective place of thinking. When I say some of the stuff, I know what I'm saying. And some of them people's lives are so jacked up, messed up, and tore up from the floor. And we don't have time for that anymore. People need to be able to understand why the Bible should be one of the most important books in your house. And there's going to come a time, just like there used to be a time in the history. You can't be caught with that kind of paraphernalia. I don't know when it'll be. Excuse me. I'm going to get this out. But if you don't have anything stored up in you to sustain you when that time comes, you think you're seeing a hard time now. You think life for you is rough now. And you don't have no substance in you. Life is not getting easier in this world, people. I say the world is just like losing your virginity. No matter how long you go abstinent, you can still not go back to your virginhood. You can miss maybe how it feel. Or how somebody feel. But you will never, once you lose your virginity, what happens is they got a thing called your hymen. When your hymen break, that's something you can never put back. It's broken. It might tighten up again, but it's still broken. And so that's the way. When you look at this world, it's broken. The hymen is broken. And no matter how long this world exists, there are some things that is not never going to go back to being like it used to be. It's not going back to the virgin state. And the reason I believe is because of technology. We got so many AI and so many things. Listen, somebody told yesterday on TV, they said they didn't realize they had been online dating somebody, talking to somebody for months and didn't even realize and recognize the whole time it was a Roblox. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed that. They couldn't even detect and determine a Roblox from a human being, not a robot. But a Roblox. All the while they dating a box. Oh God, help me today. It's time for people to get in their word. Your word is going to be among the realest reality that you can absorb. The word. And get you a good study Bible. Now let me tell you my study Bible. I've had this Bible for some years. And I got it from a guy who I happened to be at my cousin's house that was saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. And I think somebody told the young man, he was from Africa, and he was coming around in the city selling Bibles at the time. This was in 1991. Because I put the year in here, June of 1991. Excuse me. And the guy that was selling the Bible, name was Kabina Charms. And he would come out there and even study with us. And I put in here spiritual friend from Africa. This is why I'm telling people, I've been meeting people, knowing people from all over the world for a long time. This ain't new to me. And I was in a little bitty country town. This is how God will connect you with people. But there were many other people that lived there, but I'm sure they didn't even meet him. Let me tell you something. God is positioning people. Because people, they've been wasting a lot of time and a lot of years doing things that don't even work. And that's the sad part. People been doing some of the same old things in life, and they see them things don't even work for them. They don't work. Some people got too much drama in their house. And there's no way you can be a worshiper of God with that much drama. Now, this is an open book Bible. It's a study edition. And it's by Thompson Nelson. It's by Thomas Nelson, publisher out of Nashville. This is a Christian guide. And it has visual surveys of the Bible, special study aids. This has been a really good study Bible for me. Thomas Nelson, publisher, King James Version, Red Letter Edition, Holy Bible, the New Open Book Study Edition. And it has a lot of historical timelines. It has the author. It has the creative work of God after the flood, temptation. I mean, it can take you into some real deep study. And remember, now I don't know if it's still around because like I said, I bought it back in 1991 when he was selling them. And so that has been, oh my God, what, over 30 years? But this is the thing. I'm sure you can still find you a good study Bible. Just Google it. What's a good study Bible? Now I want to talk to you a little bit before I put a pen in this podcast. Because I'm going to be coming back regular. Going through this study that I'm in. The book of Matthew. And in this book of Matthews, what I want to share with you is the history. And so when we look at the history of the book of Matthews, Matthew was a gospel that was written by a Jew. And see, this is the thing, a lot of time we get caught up. I got to just tell people the real deal. We get caught up in this black culture, white culture, Christianity. Like what Jesus looked like. And a lot of time he's depicted as either black or white in America. Hello. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. But he was neither. Oh, God, help me today. If you need to hear the real core truth, Jesus was neither a black man or a white man. He was a Jew. He was a whole different culture, but yet people depict that lie. See, people got to stop taking this Bible to fit what they want to fit, and then don't look at it for what it really is. Matthew was a Jew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these men was of Jewish cultural descent. They were Jews. And so when we look at that, these writers were Jewish. They lived in Jerusalem. Hello. So when people be trying to make fallouts, because that's what they do. Well, we're going to fall out with the Caucasians because we know Jesus was a black man. Well, we're going to fall out with the black people because we know Jesus was a white man. But if you really look at somebody teaching you the real truth, and this is where God is raising up people in this time. They just teach the real truth. He was neither one. He was a Jew. Now, if you want to look, that's why the description and the color, it can confuse some people when they say hair like wool, feet like brass. That still didn't make him a black man. Oh, God, help me today. He was a descendant from a Jewish culture, from Israel. If y'all look at the people from Israel, even now, yes, they have dark brass coloring. But that don't mean they're a black person or a white person. Let's just start learning the Bible the right way. And that's part of my mission. See, WDGS was established to get rid of and abolish a lot of people traditional thinking. That stuff that they just been taught as a child, but they weren't taught the right way. Now, let me say not the right way. They weren't taught the truth. And that's why I'm big on the truth. So when you look at Matthew, he presented Jesus as the king of the Jews. John even said things, the reference. This person that's coming after me, he's so mighty. I can't even bend down to tie his shoe, let alone compare myself to him. That's just how mighty this person is. I can't even touch that. And this is where people need to reverence the Savior that way. Do you understand what it means for God to orchestrate through a human living body to demonstrate? God orchestrated to demonstrate it before people's eyes can see. A human being born on this earth who knew no sin. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed it. You know how many? You know what? Let me give you an exercise. Define what is a sinner. Just put that, just humor yourself. Define a sinner. And when you find out what a sinner is, then write down how many sins you think you commit. Now, here it is throughout the entire lifespan of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He never committed a sin. So this is where we get to that place when I talked about God instructing me to have the mind of Christ. So he said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. That's what got me into this 40-day study. You got to grab this. So that means I got to start practicing and patterning myself so much after Christ that sin will not reign in my mortal body. I'm trying to get to heaven. I hope somebody grabbed that. So then when the Bible asks the question, shall we continue in sin because grace abounds? And the answer is absolutely not. That is written. See, a lot of people, they live off of grace. What does that mean? That means they can act up and act out, do wrong, do evil, do dirty deeds, and then turn around and say, oh, forgive me in the name of Jesus. And get back up and keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. Same old thing. Never change. This is why when I say what I say, some people are doing things and they know they don't work. But they keep doing the same thing. And what has it done? It has caused division. It has caused them to push some good people out of their lives. It has caused some people to never want to have no kind of relationship with them anymore. It has caused people that don't even trust them no kind of way. And what does that mean? And they know this is not working for them. They see it's not working for them. And them people, what I say, they can't help themselves. They need deliverance. So when Matthew began teaching, Matthew began his writing. See, he's the author of the book of Matthew. And so the early church, listen to me, this is when church began to become uniform. Because before the New Testament, there was no early church. Now, they had courts, what they call inner courts and outer courts. And they had sanctuaries. And they built sanctuaries. But they didn't have, quote unquote, church. So how the early church began to be uniform is during the New Testament period. So when we look at the Gospel of Matthew's, there was really no foundation of tradition, but it was beginning to emerge. See, that's why when you look at stuff now, you still see emerging of certain tradition. You get this church, they set up and they decide, okay, well, every Sunday we're going to do this. Every other Sunday we're going to do that. So people start establishing these different traditions in the churches. Oh, God, help me today. And so what ended up happening, that's when church controversy began to take place. So what Christ came on the scene to let people know, listen, all this stuff y'all done set up. See, God bought Jesus at a certain dispensation of time. This because you got the Roman Catholics over here. They called themselves different sectors. They was called Pharisees. God help me today. I'm going to get this out. They had different sectors. They were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Scribes. They were the main three. And all of them wanted people to listen to them in their prospective places. And these people were setting up people in the synagogues. Well, no church now. It was synagogues. And they set up rules and established people religiously. And they set up rules to tell them how to practice religion. So they were still practicing a lot of what they call the Abrahamic laws and the Davidic laws, which was from David. So when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus said, listen, those laws, I didn't come for y'all to get rid of them, but I came to guide you into how to fulfill them. Because these people were so stuck in their traditions. And they was always bickering about who tradition is right and which one wrong and the people. So they was divided. And so God said, well, let me send my beloved son through the womb of Mary. I can't let him come in the world. See, this is where people get this thing twisted with God. God is just that powerful. He just that mighty. And people be trying to restrict God. Don't you know if he know every hair on your head, what is it for him to put a baby in a womb without sexual conception? People can do that. Scientists can do that. Hello. And they ain't no God. I'm just saying. I can help make it match and make sense. A scientist can do that. They got scientists that they can take a semen and put a baby in a womb without sexual conception. Hello. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. So what are we saying in ourselves sometimes? We make too much controversy instead of just getting in that Bible and just learning what you can to help make you a better human being. That's the whole guts of learning the Bible, is to make you a better human being. That's why you need to study. That's why you need to teach it to your children to study. Because if you pattern yourself after Christ, if you start trying to copy off of Jesus, because you go, you know, it's a lot of copycats in the world. They copy when folk buy cars. They copy when folks buy clothes. They copy people's slogans. I'm just saying, it's a whole lot of stuff people copy. But if you pattern yourself after Jesus Christ, then copy him. That will make you a better human being, because you will be copying somebody who knew no sin. You can try to be like your mama, your daddy. They knew some sin. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But why not copy after somebody who didn't know no sin? That's why I don't pattern myself after nobody. Because what am I doing? Pattern myself after sinner? If we all done sinned, that's what I'm doing. So when God began to instruct me, pattern yourself after Christ. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So when we look in the book of Matthew and we start dealing with some key points, one of the things you're going to see is outlined is that presentation of Christ, the proclamation that he is a king, the power of Christ, the progressive rejection of Christ. That's right. People rejected him. And that's why I don't feel no kind of way when people want to reject me. Because most people going to reject people that tell the truth if they don't want to accept the truth. Let me repeat that if I can. Most people going to reject people who tell the truth if they don't want to accept the truth. Hello. And they didn't just start with me. Hello. That's been going on since even before Christ was born. Hello. Since the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, they rejected the truth of the instructions of God. That's where the fall of man came, and that's when you find folks that still falling. Them the people who don't want to accept truth. The truth, and I'm not talking about the truth of everybody in the world. I'm talking about the truth about their own self. They self that they look in the mirror and see. That self that they already know. They own self that know that they keep doing things that ain't even working for themselves. That self. And they got the audacity to get in their feelings if somebody say something, what they see that you keep doing that ain't working for you. But you don't want nobody to say that. That self. So when people can't even accept their own truth about how they are, to who they are, let me tell you something. That's a dangerous place to be in. And if anybody know like I know, they really need to run to the Bible and fall on their face and ask God to really help them, help deliver them. You know, Leandra Johnson, if you never heard of her, she got a song. And it's the name of it is Deliver Me. Because she said, all I seem to do is hurt me. Lord, deliver me. I like that song. I encourage y'all to Google it, play it. And as you listen to it, ask God to do the same for you. Deliver you. If all you seem to do is hurt yourself. And I can never understand why folks sit down and get an attitude and fall out with folks. And they get mad at folks because people talk about how they keep messing up and they don't help themselves. Well, if you don't want to help yourself, why in the world are you mad at folks that talk about you ain't helping yourself? If you doing the same old thing, if you got the same old drama in your house year after year after year, you got the same old drama that come out your mouth, you ain't spreading no gospel. All those people be going to church. They ain't spreading no gospel. They spreading the gossip, not the gospel. Hello. I'm just saying. And then they think people want to embrace them. Make it match and make it make sense. People tired of folk. Everybody can gossip, but everybody can't tell and teach the gospel. And that's the purpose for people when the churches was established in the book of Matthew. That's the purpose of people being in the church. Dum 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 dum. That was the purpose Jesus taught. That's how you know the difference between Bible studiers and Bible readers or Bible walkers. And what Bible walkers is, just them folk that walk into the church with the Bible in their hand. They don't read or study. Hello. They just walk with their Bible. They make it look like somebody they impress. I call them Bible walkers. They just walk their Bible. They don't read their Bible. And God knows they don't study. Because if they did, they'd have realized that the purpose of walking with that book into the church is to teach the gospel. Jesus said to be fishers of men. This how you catch people. You tell them the good news of the gospel. But you got some folks, they can't teach no gospel because they don't even know how. And they'll make excuses and tell you what the preacher wasn't preaching. But listen to me. Let me tell y'all something. I've been on a lot of different diverse denominations and ministry. You don't need to wait on no preacher to teach you the gospel, the good news. If you know how to read, all you need to do is pray for God to give you insight to comprehend. That's all I used to do. That's all. The Bible says, he who lacks wisdom, that's in the book of James, let him ask, and he'll give it to you for free. You don't have to pay nobody. That's why I don't charge nobody. Because everything that I get when I glean and I grow, I get it for free. Only thing I invest is time. But guess what? God is the reason that give me that time. So God gave me that time for free. I didn't have to pay for the time it took for me to study. And this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples. Listen, if you know that whatever I'm sharing with you, you gleaming and growing from, I'm not charging you. I'm the Christ. I handpicked you to hang out with me. And not one time, not only did I charge you, oh God, help me today. I know some preachers may not want me to tell y'all this. He said, not only did I not charge you, but at the same time, I'm going to give you instructions that when you go out to minister the gospel to people, look, don't even take nothing with you but the gospel. And if people find that what you're saying to them is helping and blessing their lives, then they'll be a blessing to you. I hope somebody grabbed that. That's why a lot of people stuck and stagnated. They can't get off the grind and stay off the grind. Because when people are pouring in and feeding them, they don't even want to be a blessing to them. They don't want to have the decency. Some folk won't even give you a phone call, let alone a dime and a dollar. I'm just saying. They won't send you a thank you note. I'm just saying. And then Jesus said, "But if you find them spirits, oh God, help me today, that's like that." This is why churches start taking up offering. Because as they poured into the people, there became a spiritual, divine concept to prosper people. It was orchestrated by God. And God gave it to Jesus to teach people. And he said, if you give, you will receive. But it's not about just giving to anybody. See, and this is what got a whole lot of folks jacked up, messed up. They'll give money to the weed man. They'll give money to the weave woman. They'll give money to the retailers. They'll give money, excuse me, for extracurricular activity. They'll pay to go to concerts and sports. And they'll give money for all kind of stuff every day. But they will not pour into the person like Jesus taught and say, listen, if a person is pouring into you, praying into you, consulting you, you're supposed to be a blessing to them. But let me tell you what Jesus said. This is why a lot of folks can't get free. Listen to me. He said, and if you find people like that, oh God, help me today, that won't pour into you, and you pouring into them to teach them better, to get in this place, to know that they need to have the mind of Christ. And if you're praying and pouring into them, listen, y'all got to grab this now, because this is very, very important. And I'm going to put a pin in the podcast. He said, leave them people alone and shake the dust off of your feet and don't even return to them folks. I'm just saying. Can you imagine how people will be left stuck and stagnated and won't no blessings flow through their house? I'm just saying. Because they were Jesus was teaching. He told the disciples. Now, when you get there, this is how the church was being established. See, the first church was established. A church was in people's houses. Oh, God, help me today. It wasn't established in the synagogues. It was established in a house. So Jesus told them, he said, I want y'all to go out. And when you get to that house, oh, God, help me today. If you're not received and you don't feel no peace in that person, then you need to shake the dust off and leave. And that person's house, listen to me. Y'all got to get this part. He said, it would have been better, listen, than to live doing Sodom and Gomorrah than that person's house. And let me tell y'all something. That's awful. Because Sodom and Gomorrah, they were cities. They were two neighboring cities. And if it's better than them two cities than your own house, because what happened with them cities in one night? Listen to me. See, I'm here because I love people. And I'm enlightening people because I love people. In one night, the death angel came through there and killed everybody in the city of Sodom and in Gomorrah. And so Jesus taught the people, his disciples, he said, it would be better if they don't bless you than their house in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. I was looking at the news. There was a man, and surprisingly, I'm just going to be honest, it was a nice, handsome-looking black man. They killed that man this weekend. I think it was in Missouri, Minnesota. He held hostage his seven children. That's what they say, his own seven children. It would have been better than in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah than in that house. I'm just saying, this man held his own seven children at gunpoint. How sick and sad is that? That's why I'm saying to people, it's no time to let your feelings control your life. It's no time for that. You got to get to follow the Savior. And when you follow the pattern of Christ, that's why they call him the Savior, because it'll save your life. Because you won't act up and act out. You won't do them things because you got somebody to guide you, to tell you, listen, you can live in this flesh. That's what God sent his only begotten son to be the example for us to know. You can live in this flesh and not mistreat people if you choose not to mistreat people. You can live in this flesh and you can forgive people. It's all about a choice. If you don't want to forgive people, you don't have to. That's a choice. But it's not because you cannot do it. You can do it because Jesus said it in your flesh. All you got to do is repent and open up your heart. That's what he say. But you got some people not willing to do that. They feelings become their God. And so whatever they feelings tell them to do, that's what they're going to honor. They're going to honor what they feel. Not what the word of God say. It say forgive a person 70 times 7 in a day. And you got some people that just won't do that. And that's between them and God. And then they'll sit around and they'll think bad and wish bad and be bad. And that's not of Christ. So as we gleam and grow through this study, listen to me. When you look at the two proclamations of the king, one was the presentation and the other was the power. And that's what these four gospels represent, a proclamation of the presentation of the Savior. This is the only four books that really journey with Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit gave me that name, A 40-Day Journey with Jesus. These were authors that actually witnessed and wrote their interaction with Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So again, if you're interested, at the end of this podcast or in any portion in this podcast, you can see a link where you can leave a voice message. If you are interested, leave your information. It's an in-depth 1-hour study. We do a 1-hour study. I divide up the scriptures, the chapters, and I'm doing 3 chapters per day right now. And then we'll discuss those chapters. And I'm going to tell you, in my study yesterday, one of the things I realized that every single thing I've been talking and telling people, it's written. And I start seeing scriptures to correlate what Jesus was teaching and what did God say for him to teach. And a lot of time I'm conveying it in a message that appeals to your human nature like a parable. But trust me, whatever I'm sharing with you about feelings, about conduct, about character, about people, it is already written how wrong it is. And the reason I call out wrong is because that's what I'm mandated to do. That's my purpose, to enlighten people when they out of order. Because I love people and I want all people to be saved. And if you're not in that place that you can answer the question in a quick snap of a finger, if you left here today, are you going to heaven? If your heart clean and clear of all thoughts of evil, because if you still harboring, holding, hating evil thoughts, let me enlighten you. And I'm telling you, it's in this study, the four gospels. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. I'm just going to tell you the real deal. And whatever you holding and harboring, the question is it that important for you to go to hell? Because let me make no mistake, hell is, I believe, is real. Just as real as I believe heaven is real. And when you get in hell, that's why people need to teach their children. You're going to burn forever. You may need to think that. See, people don't, let me tell y'all something. This walk is real. And you got to decide, only you. And people, some people say, well, you don't know, you ain't been there. You know what? You're right. But if I had to take a gamble, if I had to take a chance, because how many people gamble on things every day they're not sure of? Hello. Let me repeat that. How many people gamble on things they're not sure are guaranteed? So that's the way I look at it. I take a gamble. I'd rather choose to act like I want to go to heaven than miss heaven and go to hell. God bless. I love you all. May the blessings from heaven flow in your life. And may you prosper and be in good health. God bless. And bye for now.